Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to Season 281. Wow, Episode 5 of The Daily Zeitgeist. This is still a production of iHeartRadio, and it's still the podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Friday, March 31st. This is a tricky month. I always forget March has 31 days, and I don't know that, like, rhyming device that people always use. It's always just been vibes. But anyway, it's also National Bunsen Burner Day, National Prom Day, Take Down Tobacco, National Day of Action, National Tater Day. Oh man, Jack would have loved that. National Clams on the Half Shell Day, and National Crayon Day, not crayon. Okay, I know some people say crayon, and that used to really bug me as a kid. And I was like, they're crayons, not crayons. Anyway, my name is Miles Gray, and I'm not just somebody who is, you know, peeved by people's pronunciation of weird words, but I'm also Miles Gray, a.k.a.
Zuck fuck the bed. He wants the world to know TikTok has got to go. Zuck fuck the bed. Why can't you all just see Meadow's the place to be? He fucked the bed.
Okay, shout out to, what was that? Razak on the Discord for that wonderful I'm Coming Out, a.k.a. Shout out to Diana Ross. And I am thrilled to be joined by my co-host, super producer, talented individual, someone who has their finger on the pulse. And when I feel young, I'm always the first to ask this person, what the fuck is going on? I am joined by none other than the Puerto Rican legend from the great state of Texas, Becca Ramos!
Woo-woo! Hello, hello, a.k.a. Borico in the building, a.k.a.
Hey,
it's Aries
Lepa.
Season, your favorite Aries.
Ow, ow, ow. Oh, wow. Really? You're Aries?
Yes, it is. 3 more weeks of my birthday.
Do you have Aries? Do you give? I don't know. Are you hard-headed like that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, don't ask my boyfriend.
Wow. It's funny, like, when people have, like, certain dimensions, they're like, I don't know that part. They're like, it comes out in different arenas.
Yeah, don't ask him. He'll be like,
okay.
She's hard-headed?
Well, thank you for joining me, Becca, and to really round this trio out. I'm thrilled to be joined by, you know, one of the OGs. Like I say, when it comes to being on the internet, whether you're doing journalism or podcasting, you've read the work. You've heard the podcast like Heidi World. And you know what? You probably don't know this, and you should, because I'm going to say it every time. One of the fucking gods of the 818, the San Fernando Valley. Please welcome none other than Molly Lambert.
Thank you. What's up?
What's going
Molly
on?
Lambert.
What's new? What's new? What's cracking?
I know it's been so long.
I'm so happy to be back on Zeitgeist. Do I have to do an AKA?
Nah, I had a baby though in between. That's the only
I was going to say, man. Yeah. You had a whole human being.
Yeah. And I love telling people that. especially when I'm like slow with things. I'm like, man, I got this newborn. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you got a good excuse.
It's the ultimate excuse for a lifetime.
It is. But in the same way, even though I say that, I'm like, oh, that's a good excuse. Like, meanwhile, I'm like literally like doing all kinds of stuff, multitasking.
It's true. It's not just an excuse. You actually have a baby that you
I'm trying to wear the baby more. You know what I mean? So I could really be like two-handed throughout the day, but I'm still like, you know, I'm still getting used to it. Cause every time I'm like, I don't want to bend too far over and I feel like he's going to fall. He's not.
No, you need like a jersey with a little kangaroo pocket.
Oh, jersey.
Pop out.
Yeah.
I feel like they have to have made it by now.
Yeah. Are there no like marsupial shirts for like, humans to wear?
Yeah, we need a marsupial shirt.
Okay. Is that even a thing? Marsupial shirt.
Because people
parents.
Are weird enough to do that with their cats and dogs. So,
oh, yeah, they got this. Yo, man, you know what's so funny? It's all dudes that are. Hey,
of course.
Justin, let me get screen share real quick. It's just funny because the second you like, I search marsupial shirt for parents, and then it's all like dudes with beards, like rocking
of course,
a black
because
tee.
Women usually have, you know, the sarongs or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. We got a wrap.
Wow.
I have a wrap. Yeah, I got a wrap. We got the ergo.
Yeah,
we got,
look at his dad.
Looked like Jack Heese if he had no hair, this dude.
No, that's true.
Wow. I like that it's really like all built in because, I mean, there's also the part, I don't know how to, I'm getting
no, it's
good.
Literally like, we can't do this. It needs to just be done. I can't
figure
out the
funny.
Wrap.
I love holding him with my arms, though. There's something like about it where I'm just like, this is my baby.
Your masculine strength.
I don't know. Like, it's, I don't know if it's about, I just like, I feel like I just want to hold him like right under my neck. You know what I mean? And let's nuzzle him.
And
like
you got
that.
A little baby smell. It's like,
yeah. And I'm always like, my baby. Like, people are like, oh, your baby. I'm like, it's my baby. anyway.
Like Gollum.
Yeah. Yo, no bullshit. I said that to Her Majesty last night. I'm like, yo, he got me like Smeagol right now. Cause I'm like, get the fuck away. I'm like, this is my precious. But anyway, let's just run through real quick what we're going to talk about in today's episode. Aside from me going full Smeagol with my child, we're going to talk about Narcan was just approved by the FDA for over-the-counter use, but or over-the-counter sales. But we'll also get into like just the fuckery that goes on with Big Pharma. And when you have something that's like patent-free, like, or has been off patent for many years, the ways they still got to try and mark this shit up, even though this is something that's very needed in our country and most of the world right now. And then also, what the fuck is this fucking fly doing in my face? Sorry, y'all. That's real life for you coming at you. Then we are going to talk about, so Donald Trump is, quote, topping the charts. He just said that to Sean Hannity the other night. And I was like, what the, huh? We'll get into this track that has put Donald Trump, as he says, at the top of the charts, bigger than Taylor Swift, and just really, what kind? It's a grift. Come on now. We all know it's a grift. So we'll get to what the grift is. And then we'll catch up with Trump's best friend over in Florida, Ron DeSantis, who, you know, he made a big thing of like, oh, Disney wants to like cape for LGBTQ people, huh? Well, guess what? I'm taking over your, you know, public tax district where you run things. And basically he found out real quick that Disney knows how to fuck around with legal loopholes, and now he has no power. So we'll get into that and what that looks like over in Orlando. But first, gotta ask you, Mali Lambert, as we say in France, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Hold on, just looking to see.
I feel like I should almost ask you, what was the last shit you were watching on YouTube?
Well, okay, that's the other thing I was ready for.
Oh, is that an over and under, or is that a search history? Because I don't want to take that away. Tell me what you searched for first.
Like I haven't been looking at, the only thing I've been doing is watching Taxi on Pluto TV.
That's wild. I was just like, when Judd Hirsch was at the Academy Awards, I was like, yo, he's in Taxi. And then
Taxi.
What? Yeah. And I was like, yo, that's Judd Hirsch. I was trying to explain other things. She's like, what else has he been? And I'm like, I mean, Taxi. That's that was the OG thing.
And then Taxi?
And Independence Day.
Taxi's so good. Everybody in it is so hot.
Who's the hottest? Wait, so how, like, tell me, wait, why are you coming back around to Taxi? What's like, walk me through this. Because I know you got it. There's a reason.
Just, I was like, my friend was watching it. It's just a good show that I like. I've done Cheers a million times, and Taxi's like the prequel to Cheers.
Right.
All the same people. And it was taken off Hulu and moved over to Pluto TV don't know if you guys fuck with Pluto TV, but Pluto TV is like for old people, kind of. It's like for old people if they knew how to use the internet.
It's what do you like, mean? If they knew
like
how to
channels.
Use it.
It's channels.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it just plays you, and it has the channels are like of different shows. So you can watch a channel and it's like the Taxi channel that just shows episodes of Taxi and nothing else. And then there's a channel that's like the Beverly Hills 90210 channel that just shows old episodes of Beverly Hills 90210. And you can also, this is new.
Oh, Dr.
That
Quinn
you can,
Medicine Woman? Okay.
Yeah, like it's all just like old syndicated shows. It's got these really janky commercials in between that are like, hey, keep watching Pluto TV and watch like your favorite show, fucking Happy Days.
Right.
And it's just, it lulls me into a state of such calm.
Right.
Yeah, everybody wow, in Taxi is hot. Jed Hirsch, Mary Lou Henner, Tony Danza playing a character named Tony Banta, because I can't remember anything beyond that. Jeff Conaway, bad dude, pretty hot on Taxi. Andy Kaufman, did I say him already? Danny DeVito, truly a player's club.
Yeah.
Of
and the writing tracks, ballers. Like if like you laugh out loud
it's
watching it.
It's so funny. It's such a good show. It's like legit so good. And like kind of dark and like about just like blue collar people. So good.
Okay. Good to know. Check it out on Pluto TV. Really is. It's like MacGyver. You could watch Jag for 9 straight hours, or Biodome's coming on in 15 minutes.
Right. And it's like, if you feel overwhelmed by streaming, if you're like, there's too many goddamn choices.
Right.
I don't want to decide. Remember when TV just decided for you?
100%.
And then showed you a bunch of commercials and you were just kind of like, you
said
sit there
no,
and
Becca,
take it.
What?
No, I said, I know. I used to. My family still has cable.
I was like, wait, really?
I was like, my parents still very much pay for cable. Like, they're those people.
You know, when
I go home and I watch cable.
When you see a little hotel TV and you're like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Remember when TV just tells me what I like?
That's what I think of as like a parent, too. You know what I mean? Because like, I have nieces and nephews who are so up on like all the apps. They're like, oh, well, you ain't got Disney Plus? They're like, okay, you got Paramount TV. I'm like,
yeah, well, guess what? Now you can sit them down in front of Pluto TV.
Pluto.
Where they have like a Sailor Moon channel that'll just show you like 1,000 episodes of Sailor Moon.
But wasn't like linear TV like the reason we have weird interests? Because like, I feel like as a kid, I was just like, okay, what's on? I'm sorry, I'm keep swatting at flies in here. Like,
no,
what's
this
going
is the way in which we become like, you know, greatest generation grandparents, because we're just like, they used to just tell us what we were watching and we liked it
at a certain time, and we sat there and we watched it, and it only came on once and we couldn't rewatch it.
And you could tell by motherfucker what their favorite channel was. I was a MTV Comedy Central HBO little kid.
That's
okay.
Right. If you,
I was the N. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I was like not Nick at Night, but not Nickelodeon, like Nickelodeon for teens.
If you wanted to see a music video, you had to just sit there and wait and just hope it would come on again.
You had to go to VH1 and then see what they were doing for the week.
Yeah.
Ooh. We had to watch 80s on 8.
Eight Good miles times. In the snow to get premium streaming cable content.
Uphill both ways, exactly. Molly, I got to ask you, what's something you think is overrated?
All right, here's what I was ready for. Something I think is overrated is things being underrated.
Okay.
You see where this is going.
Tell me about the emphasis. Okay, yeah. What do you feel like right now? Where there's too much emphasis on things being underrated.
I just think sometimes when you're like, this thing's underrated, it's like a hidden gem. Nobody know. You know, it's been underrated. Sometimes it's been correctly rated.
Like for example, what's something you think is not actually underrated?
What's something that's actually underrated?
Or
things
not,
actually
that
being
not
underrated. I think things that are genuinely underrated is underrated.
Mm-hmm.
What's not underrated is people being like Die Hard 2 is underrated or something. Or it's like, no, it's not.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, it has to be like obscure enough that it's not like reaching the masses.
It's
whereas,
just
like
sometimes things are obscure for a reason, though. Like sometimes a thing is like a lost thing or nobody, you know, it's down in the canon, and then you see it and you're like, I get why.
Right.
I get why nobody likes this.
I got the fly, y'all.
Sorry,
I was swatting out here like I was on one. But yes, got it. Yeah, I mean, I get it. I think a lot of the times, like, I don't really use the only times I've said underrated, like, truly, are like for the weirdest things. I'm like bathrobes, man. Like, we don't like that should be the only fucking thing we use to get out the shower, because you could, it's a wearable towel and you don't gotta fuck around with, like, if the air is cold and shit is evaporating on your skin, you just cover it
but
up.
But that means you gotta get a towel fabric robe.
Yeah. They're like
okay,
$3.
See, I got like three robes and none of them are towel material.
I have one. You know what's funny though too? I do have context robes. I got a fucking big ass blanket that I could wear when it's cold. And then I have my bath towel robe that I also wear. But anyway, all that to
that's a me problem. I should have bought a towel robe. Actually, with the gift card you gave me for Christmas, I bought like a very soft robe, but not a towel robe.
That's fine.
Okay,
to each their own.
You're also right about bathrobes being underrated.
Thank you. How do you feel? What's your take? How do you feel about bathrobes? When I evoked that, were you like, ooh, yeah.
I was like, I wish I had a really cozy bathrobe on right now.
Yeah.
I love a robe.
Especially for people that smoke weed, you got to have a cozy robe.
Yeah. Here's the problem with that. I'll just turn into the Big Lebowski. I'll turn into the dude if I start wearing a bathrobe.
You know what's so funny? I have a friend of mine got me a thinner like robe, like a linen one, and I was wearing it when it was hot, but I was wearing like a Lakers jersey and like mismatching shorts underneath, and everyone's like, "Yo, you kind of look like the fucked up version of the dude." And I was like, "I'm kind of feeling this shit."
You're like,
that's what I mean. It's not that it's bad, it's that it's too dangerous. It's a slippery slope. You'll never wear real clothes.
You're never
going to
get out of it. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's why I can't have a nice, cozy bathrobe, is because I'll never leave my apartment if I did.
Yeah.
If I got out of my shower and I had like a cozy robe,
like, why put on clothes at that point?
Never going to put on real clothes then. Mm. So it's like I have to. There has to be a little bit of discomfort to just like propel me out the door.
Right. Just right. When you're wrapped in a gossamer blanket of comfort, then it's very easy.
Yeah.
To just
but I think
like
robe guy is a really, I really see it for you, especially.
You think I can pull off robe guy? As a dad,
especially now you're doing dad life. You're going to, you know what you could do is like, like what you were saying when you're describing the outfit, it is the dude, but I'm also thinking of like fucked up kind of like Tony Soprano when he's getting the newspaper every day.
Oh, yes.
Just a white tank top with my boxers and like leather slippers.
But like, what about instead of the boxers, it's like hoop shorts and.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like Corona board shorts.
Yeah, I'm seeing this for you. I'm having a vision.
With a Henry's Tacos t-shirt underneath.
And you got your baby strapped to you.
Oh, yeah. But
got the baby in the kangaroo pocket.
I start making graphic, like marsupial tees. So I'm like, because you don't want the baby to cover up like what you're fucking with. You know what I mean? So
I'm just picturing the baby could like help you. Like the baby could like pop out and light your blunt for you and
like Master Blaster kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or what's that? No, what's the dude in Total Recall? That's like
he's
like in the stomach.
Quato.
Yeah, Quato.
That's
See, my,
what I'm. That's,
my baby is Quato.
Your baby is Quato.
Okay, maybe I think I aspire for a little bit more, but that is a good idea. I'll put a pin in that.
I'm just saying, it must be cool to have a little person attached to you that can help you do stuff.
Well, he's like still like, you know. Look,
I know
he's
more,
still
my
little.
Man's is barely 8 weeks old. He's actually literally 8 weeks old today. His grip strength, we're not quite there yet, but he's scanning with his eyes.
I understand
eyes
that it's mostly you helping him do things, but.
It becomes poetic.
I foresee a world where it goes both ways.
Yeah, for sure. What's something you think is underrated?
Things being overrated.
Go on. What kind of things?
I've never come on here and not done one that was just like food that I just thought of. Where I was because I started to think, I was like, I'll do that. But I was like, no, I already did that. I think I already said like fried onion strings are underrated or whatever.
Oh. Wait, what? As like a side dish?
Yeah,
like,
I was gonna
like
do like fries.
Onion?
I was gonna do like fries are overrated, onion rings are underrated. But then I was like, I think I already said that on here, and also fries are Fries are not them. Overrated. That's like a lie. I would right. just be saying it. That's a
lie. You're just saying, right. You're just saying, just we like got to give saying, some more attention to the onion ring, folks.
Yeah, like onion rings are underrated, but fries are rated correctly.
Onion rings or onion strings?
Well, both. Like all you, fried but onions. If you had to choose. I had some really fucking good fried onions the other day.
Uh-huh.
At this place, Ototo in Echo Park. That's like
Ototo.
A...
Is it a Japanese place?
Yeah, the Japanese place.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
I got fried onions there, and they were like spring onions. They were tempura spring onions. And just like a plate, plate of like onion spears, basically. Just like flash fried. And they were so fucking good. And it was also what I wanted it to be, which was like a slightly high-end Bloomin' Onion.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah,
wait, like what, it just tasted like a Bloomin' Onion, but it, like a little like delicate
but beautiful
Bloomin' Onion.
Yeah,
it's so good.
It's funny because Ototo is also like a Japanese cracker that I loved as a kid that was like whale and like nautical shaped. But I like that. But it's also like something you'd say like if you're like oh like whoops like or something's about to for the Ototo, like it's kind of how you deploy that that phrase. Dope. But anyway, man, I love onion strings. I'm going to just say that.
If I love
a good onion string. Sometimes they're rings, like when they're just like the frozen
they're
kind.
Too
like
thick sometimes. The ratio of the batter.
The batter
to the onion,
can be a little bit fucked up.
It's too much. It hurts my stomach. Like too much batter.
Okay. Well, good to know. We'll make sure. That's how we need tempura.
It's greasy.
Battered everything.
You know what
the tempura, it was light. It was crispy. Like, it was perfect.
I love tempura veggies. Love
you
them.
You gotta fuck with it.
Yeah, I mean, look, we can eat anything if it's deep fried. I believe in ourselves as a species. All right, let's take a quick break, and we're going to be right back to talk about the news after this.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
And we're back. The FDA just announced that Narcan, which is the nasal spray version of the drug Naloxone, is authorized for over-the-counter sales. If people don't know what Narcan is or Naloxone, it basically helps reverse opioid overdoses. And, you know, the hope with the FDA making this available for over-the-counter sales is that basically saying like, yeah, maybe we can do something to address, quote, a dire public health need. Because now it would be available in vending machines, like big box stores, supermarkets, you know, wherever you can buy like any kind of over-the-counter stuff. But again, there's concerns. The big one being the price. Because right now, it's currently available through pharmacies, but since a lot of people aren't insured, and even if they are, a lot of insurance programs do not cover over-the-counter medicines. So
yeah.
Earlier in the month, one big box pharmacy in Manhattan was reportedly charging $98 for a 2-dose box of Narcan to customers without insurance. And the company that makes Narcan has very conspicuously, quote, declined to disclose the price it plans for an over-the-counter version of Narcan during their FDA review. So you're like, huh.
Ooh.
Yeah,
I mean, you're like,
that means nothing good.
No, yeah, of course
if
not.
They're saying with a insurance, like what insurance is approving purchase of Narcan? You know, like I feel like a lot of insurance companies would decline that as something as a part of their insurance benefits.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure what exactly the policy is. If you are insured, you'd hope that on some level they're like, yeah, here's something that could prevent a dire outcome for you. But, you know, when you look at like what the current like Naloxone market looks like. It's big pharma is already fucking around. Like basically every pharmaceutical company is realizing that like they're just adding all these unnecessary features, like including a specialized like syringe pen or a quote mechanized injector that gives robotic voice commands. And experts have been saying like all that we need to address this quote like dire public health concern is something that is just an abundant supply of cheap Naloxone packaged at reasonable doses and in simple low-tech delivery systems. They're
literally
words.
Like Flonase. Like it should be like, you know.
Yeah. No, exactly. And, you know, but the pharmaceutical companies, they got to keep jacking up the prices because this is how like things work. So, you know, like everything, like an auto injector. Like there's one auto injector that the Pentagon has purchased for use in the event of a terrorist attack. I'm not sure what.
And it's like, huh?
I don't know if there's like
the terrorist
an opioid.
Attack is already the opiate epidemic that we have. It's like, I don't understand.
Right. But and so all of these new products, right, as many experts, like researchers look that are in like whose business it is to look at harm reduction. They're like these weird, like razzle dazzle versions of it do not fill a legitimate public health need. Basically, all it is they need an excuse to charge higher prices because Naloxone has been off patent for nearly 40 years. And so they may create these variations like a high dose version, which sounds like more effective, right? Oh, it's the high dose version, but it isn't. And then, you know, like a lot of like experts, like a lot of those claims aren't supported by science. So because no one company holds the patent to it, they're all looking at it. They're like, well, there's not much money in it because it's selling like low cost generics. So what they do is they start creating all these like wonky, you know, feature filled versions to try and make you feel like you're getting something unique that justifies the cost. And it also allows them to patent it. And meanwhile, we're like, you know, at the will of these greedy fucking goblins.
I hate they're that. Inventing, that makes me so upset.
They're inventing like Narcan accessories.
Basically.
Yeah.
And it's just so, especially with everything going on with fentanyl right now, it's like so sad and scary that they would like finally, you know, approve this to be over the counter and then it's like inaccessible because even people who are not what you would consider maybe drug users, like an overdose can happen anytime by accident, right? Like you could be given bad cocaine or bad weed and it has fentanyl and then you're overdosing, you know? Yeah. So it's just like, everybody, even if you think you don't, needs access to this stuff. Like you should just have it in your bag in case someone around you is overdosing. Well, like that's
here's what I think. You got to get some homebrew chemist.
Naloxone. Right? If you really want to upset the balance of power, it's like, well,
yeah.
Here's how you cook up your homebrew naloxone.
That's what I mean. If it's like easy to make and it's off patent or whatever, like chemist, home chemists of the world. Somebody right. figure out how to
Andrew
like...
Andrew T. We were just talking about this. Andrew said he was going to start sequencing DNA because he said it's very easy. So now he's got to get him...
Oh, easy?
Yeah, he's like, DNA. I can sequence DNA. He's like, just give me a PCR tube, like a centrifuge. And yeah, I can sequence your DNA. And so there will be 23andT coming up soon. But the thing is, like, the other big problem with naloxone is that when it was there's just a stigma tied to it. Again, to your point of like, people have no way to extend humanity Absolutely. To someone who needs help, or they're like, what? It's for overdoses. So even when it was available for by prescription, a lot of pharmacies just were like opting out of even stocking it.
Oh, because they were like, oh, we can't sell you this. We can only sell you these opioids that are going to kill you that you need this right. for.
Well, and counteract. I guess that's what I was
They're
saying.
Like, here's
the
your here's your
thing.
Fentanyl that you need for your pain management, yeah. but we don't have naloxone either.
Yeah, in case you overdose on that fentanyl.
Yeah. Hey, be careful with that Dilaudid. You might overdose, but oh, we don't have anything for that. But anyway, do you? Just please do not drink while you take it. And so, like, and I think the part of that stigma comes from the fucking hyper politicization. Of making this drug more available. So like, yeah. for example, in Kentucky, where more than 2,000 people died of drug overdoses in 2021, like they put in a, like the state's first free naloxone vending machine, but they fucked it up because guess where they put this vending machine for people to go get naloxone to prevent an overdose? Inside a motherfucking police station. So Which,
yeah, so people are going to come in, they're going to use it, and then they're going to get arrested.
Right, or the idea, you know, it's the same thing. Like, it's not, that's a mental barrier for, or
yeah,
an obstacle
like
for some people.
Yeah, it's like, absolutely, you're in fear to go into the police station, so,
right.
yeah.
But even despite all that, it shows you how dire the situation was, because the machine was emptied within the first 24 hours.
Wow.
And, you know, like, a lot of right-wing outlets, they reported on that news, if you remember, there was, like, this whole, like, fucking headline story going around that Joe Biden was putting up vending machines, quote, filled with drug supplies. It says Biden admin is placing vending machines filled with drug supplies in rural Kentucky. They're acting like they're putting like a Rick and Morty bong and like a dab rig or some shit.
Yeah.
In there.
Hey, can we talk about how cool that would be if he was though?
Oh yeah. They're like, bro, they're like, wow, he got Dutch Masters in there. You could also get Optimos. He knows that there are different kinds of... You could get a Fanta Leaf in there for all the blunt
smokers. The first time I've ever thought Joe Biden was cool was imagining him installing a vending machine filled with drugs.
Right.
Kind of wearing like a mechanic onesie.
And he's, oh, being the guy who's like the vending machine guy?
Yeah, that's... But it's Joe Biden. He's wearing his aviators and he's like...
Got his Carhartt onesie on.
Right.
Getting like, damn dirty.
Okay, Jack.
Yeah,
come on, Jack.
Oche Gat, these bongs are made with brosilicate. You know what I mean? That's the real glass you want to use. All right, Joe Biden out. Take care. But yeah, now people are trying to ban like additional vending machines in Kentucky because the conservative slant on it is that it, quote, enables drug use, which, you know, we all see the problems with that. And that argument comes from, again, some urban legend bullshit where they said that people were throwing fucking Narcan parties where people purposely overdose and then bring themselves back with Narcan, which many people were like, this is absolute nonsense. Like,
I mean, it's the same argument as the safe sex
yeah.
Christian argument, right? Like, it's like, oh, well, we can't teach them about what safe sex is because then that's encouraging sex.
But they better not wear condoms neither.
Yeah, exactly. It's like we're not giving out condoms because that's encouraging sex. And it's like, well, maybe we're just like trying to encourage like nobody dies from an STI and or, you know, has a pregnancy they don't want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, again, urban legends are basically like the fucking lifeblood of the right wing. Like whatever scenario there is, like I was likening it to the litter box, you know, outrage where they're like, kids are identifying as felines and using litter boxes and the school district is accommodating it. And then everyone's like, this is reality.
It's like, in what universe does a school district have enough money to be accommodating for litter boxes for kids to shit in? Like, it's just like.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, one where they have to, because when like the reality of the situation isn't on your side, then you have to come up with like weird other
Pizzagate,
shit.
You know, like it's
once again, I hope the ravers of Kentucky are, you know, providing Narcan and condoms to people in the community.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Like the first line of like those are the ravers are the first people that I encountered in like the party scene. They're like, hey, man, you need like you good? Like you getting fucked up on like do you need your drugs tested?
Drugs. Yeah. They try to do drugs safely.
Yeah. But anyway.
Right. Well, that's the whole thing in America is like we don't even we pretend nobody's even doing drugs. So then they're like, if you're doing them, then, you know, you deserve to die. You shouldn't be trying to do them safely.
Right. And then cut to every politician who's like, I've struggled with like opioid use or my child has or something.
This is what I'm going to plug later when you guys asked what I was watching. But the documentary about Nan Golden, the photographer that came out on HBO Max now called The Beauty and the Bloodshed.
Yeah.
It's really rad. And part of it is about her taking on the Sacklers and shaming museums for taking money from the Sacklers. And it starts with this big protest at the museum, the Metropolitan Museum in New York, where they throw pill bottles in the water in front of the Temple of Dendor. And everybody starts chanting like Temple of Death. It's so that Temple of Sacklers, like Temple of Death. The really great documentary. Nan Golden's really cool and like a really interesting person. And a lot of her photos are of people kind of on the margins of society. And she just talks a lot about like how drug use is so stigmatized that we don't have a plan, but also about how opioids are for, you know, there's a part where they like confront the Sacklers on Zoom. The Sacklers have to listen to people talk about how opioids are in their life. It's a really good documentary. Check it out. Makes you feel inspired.
Oh, good. Yeah, because I'm like,
the Bloodshed.
I mean,
I know what
it's
about. And I'm like, and everyone says it's good. And I was always asking, like, in like it, how heavy it is. It's like, well, yeah, but that also helps you like kind of get gain perspective.
It's also just like she's so cool and is still really cool, you know? And it's like that's inspiring when you're like, wow, this woman, and she's had like some fucked up stuff happen in her life. And you're just like, she's such a good artist. And she's got her head in the right place.
Is Nan short for Nancy?
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, how do you become a Nan?
Well, they tell you in the documentary. It's her her first beautiful gay friend starts calling her Nan.
Because
that's cute.
I only know her from the Trick Daddy sense, featuring Trina. Girl, you don't know Nan. And that was my first. I was like,
that
maybe
would be
she
a
fucks with
really
Trick Daddy.
Good. A really good name for like a SoundCloud rapper would be Nan Golden.
Oh, hell sure. Yeah. You don't know. Or just like have, you know, if you're a joke rapper, you don't know Nan Golden. But like Nan Golden in the video, but you really fucking with Nan like that. Anyway, look, something aspiring joke rappers, you know, you can have that one for free.
Look, that's a joke just for like me, Miles, and Becca.
the overlap of like, you must know Trick Daddy's body of work and Nan Golden. shout out to everybody who got that. You know what? Well, we fucks with you for everyone who laughed at that one. Let's move on.
I'm trying to think of a Trina joke. Keep going.
I mean, well, she was the baddest. You know what I mean?
She's the baddest bitch. And Nan Golden is the baddest bitch. It's true.
Wow. Trina featuring Nan Golden. The baddest. Okay. All right. We'll see. Let's move on to another musical artist. Great segue. Donald Trump. Because the latest iteration of his career is now musical genius. And I want to play this clip where, you know, Donald Trump is talking about how he's just fucking up the charts right now.
By the way, that's on like three.
Are you really beating Taylor Swift, by the way?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. The J6 is beating Taylor Swift. It's Donald Trump and the J6 prisoners.
The Pledge of Allegiance.
On iTunes and on Amazon and on Billboard, which is the big deal. Number one, Donald Trump. So now I feel like Elvis because now we've done The Apprentice. That was the.
Okay. Anyway, did you hear how, first of all, did you hear how uninterested Sean Hannity was? Oh, yeah.
He's like, yeah, you have Taylor Swift.
Wow. He really went, wow. It reminded me of like the like women I dated in my 20s when I'm like, man, this new GTA is coming out. And like the map is so big. Like, wow. Cool. And I'm like, oh, all right. Yeah, cool.
But
anyway,
I'm like, what is this song?
So what the I'm not even going to play it because
you have to play it, Miles. You have to play it. I need to know.
What is it? Let me describe it first and tell me if you're still in. So this track. Okay. All right. Fine. Fuck it. Let's just play it real quick. Just so you can hear it.
Then we can discuss it.
Here we go. The fuck is this?
Okay.
Okay, you get it. I'm not going to play anymore because I don't want these people to start coming at us.
The national anthem?
Let me break this down. In this track, it's the J6 choir and Trump, okay?
Wait, back it up. What's the J6 choir?
J6 choir are motherfuckers that got caught up in January 6th and now people got caught up in that shit of imprisoned insurrectionists singing the national anthem.
And then they became choir boys.
Wait, so they're a jail choir of people who were imprisoned on January 6th?
J6 insurrectionists apparently imprisoned J6ers choir.
Okay, this is tight, guys.
Actually, this is really cool.
Pretty cool. I'm pretty sure Donald Trump is endorsing prison abolition with this. He's doing here.
We'll get to that. So the track is called Justice for All, and it's not an homage to Metallica, but it's basically those people plus Donald Trump just saying the Pledge of Allegiance over it. And apparently there's like a music video that's like just pure visual propaganda. But here's the hook, okay? It's true. This song was at the top of the charts, Billboard number one. But
that's insane.
On top of the digital sales charts, not the one that actually fucking matters. That's based on
that makes more sense.
The popularity of a fucking track. Because like
Trump says he feels like Elvis after his J6 song beats Taylor Swift.
Yeah. Maybe he'll have an interesting
look, I'm sorry. Interaction with the toilet. This is so funny and cool. Yeah. Like, I know that's not the takeaway I'm supposed to have from this, but like,
no, whatever you look.
Do you follow that Instagram catatonic youth?
Yeah.
You know,
just the fucked up musical
where they
offerings.
They play like fucked up music and like a lot of it's just like crab core and stuff like that. That's what this is like.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because it's super cringy and like amateur, but
not even that it's amateur or cringy. It's like that it's literally like outsider music. Like,
does it feel like Manson shit?
No, or just like Daniel Johnson or something. It's like, it's so weird to be number one on any chart. It's a jail choir singing with somebody reciting stuff over it.
Right. Well, and again, it's like, it's one of those things where it's like any product that comes out that's connected to Trump is like, there's a chance it sells. So it premiered at number one on March 11th because it got around 33,000 purchase downloads like in the, like the five days
just
prior.
Like all he wants is to be like pop culture. He just wants to be Taylor Swift. Like he doesn't care about being president. He just wants to be
being
like
popular,
the most famous popular guy.
But he's not necessarily the one behind it. I'll get to that part too. But just for comparison, right? When you look at the actual Billboard charts, the top streaming song that week was Morgan Wallen's Last Night, got 38.9 million streams. And the number one radio track is Flowers by Miley Cyrus, which reached an audience of over 106.7 million people. Shout out K-Rock.
Okay, but can we also talk about how Morgan Wallen got totally uncanceled?
Who even is Morgan Wallen? I was like,
this is so much more fucked up. Morgan Wallen's a country singer, like a new country singer
that got in trouble after SNL or something like that because he was on.
Yeah,
SNL.
Yeah, but why did he get
in
trouble?
Happened?
I don't remember.
He said, "There we go." In the chat.
Oh, he's a big N-word user.
Oh, he said the N-word.
Oh,
on
I remember. Yo, I remember a couple of weeks ago. A couple months ago, there was an article about like, so we welcome him just back right now?
Yeah, he's a white guy from the South and they just got him on video.
And he's wearing chains. For real.
Saying the N-word when he was drunk. And he not only did he not super apologize, people rallied around him afterwards and made him more popular than ever. And then when I heard this song that's like the hit, it's just, I think that's what's fucked up is I'm like, the Morgan Wallen song is like so Insidious because it's just like a light little pop song about like,
yeah.
Right.
I will sing it for you. It's like, I'm only quitting one thing at a time. About how he can like light the bar on fire,
oh.
or he can lose your number, but he can't do it. He can only do one thing at a time. You can only stop saying racial slurs.
That's on my list. One thing at
a time. That's on his list, but he's
I can
one
either
at
burn
time.
The bar down, or I can take your number out of my phone. I can give you up right now and never want you back as long as I'm half stoned.
Oh, right. Cool.
Like,
if you want me to quit you, want me to get you out of my heart, out of my baby, off my mind, I hate to tell you, girl, but I'm only quitting one thing at a time.
Wow.
Look, here's the problem. It's really catchy. It's a really catchy song. And
here's the problem. It slaps.
I mean, it does a little bit,
and
but
Molly's
it's also like that.
And I stream it.
No, I heard it a lot the other night, though. I went to this line dancing night and they were playing it. And I was like, this is crazy. Morgan Wallen fully just like nothing happened. He didn't get canceled. He apologized and he's good now.
Well, then
so
he's
I
in good company
me,
on the charts
the fact
with
that song. Like, yeah. at least the Trump thing sounds fascist.
Right. Rather than like the insidious undertones of white supremacy.
Yes, yeah. Of country guys who have these kinds of songs where then you realize they're all fucking racist and you're like, oh, right. Like,
right.
That's why it's bad.
Yeah. Well, look,
I love
again,
me some pop country, but I'd also.
The charts are looking good, though. You got Donald Trump, Morgan Wallen, and other famous culture vulture, Miley Cyrus right there. Jay Zamafi.
Jay Zamafi. Yeah, other famous interloper. Okay,
so get like me.
Feet.
Man, remember that era?
Banker's era.
Oh, the
fucking Mike Will, man. What did you do, Mike Will?
Flowers, Unproblematic Jam.
Oh, is
I
it good?
I do like Flowers, though.
Yeah, I mean, she's song. Coming back. I mean, she let that go, but, you know, haven't... Has she,
I know,
has
she had her moment. She's
about
like,
it?
No, but you don't understand. Like, I was just, like, finding myself. And it's like, of course, you were finding yourself through black music and got famous off of black music, divorced your Disney image off of black music. And then you were
right.
Like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah,
and
that's
that
kind of, like,
me
not me.
Was problematic.
Didn't she say
okay,
something?
So that's also, like...
Because she was like, I hate rap.
Donald Trump's making
yeah.
some white music.
Right. Thank you, Donald. Like,
imagine
it's like to
how
your
much
point.
Scarier it would be if it was like the Donald Trump rap.
I mean, imagine if he did get together with Kanye on that. That would have been crazy.
He has a rapper's
like flow. He got a certain flow.
Like he likes the flow. He loves to rap. He's got like he's truly like he's famous for ad libs.
Right. Oh yeah, 100%
yeah.
for sure. But I do want to say like. The music video is also wild. Like, it's basically like all kinds of visual propaganda mixtape with
of
all
course.
Kinds of violent imagery, like including video of Ashley Babbitt getting shot and killed at the Capitol, but during the rocket's red glare, bombs bursting in the airport. Yeah. So there was actually, I mean, this invited outrage naturally from, you know, people on the left, but even Brian Kilmeade on Fox was like, bro, you gotta let go of the January 6th shit. It's sort of like what is saying. This is Brian Kilmeade just like exasperated about like because Donald Trump opened the Waco rally with the track.
Of course.
This is such an opportunity for Republicans just to say, look at what we did. Oh. Look at what he's doing. Look at what we had. Look at what he's doing. And I think for President Trump to spend 80% of his time complaining about court cases instead of just looking at his own record and what he would have done. Let me tell you what I would have done to SVG. Let me tell you what I would have done to
he's
Syria
not do
if
that.
They if we our guys got hit for the 74th time and twice in 2 days. He does that. Or other candidates do that, they're going to be unbelievably successful because that's going to be the conversation at the kitchen table.
Great political mind, Brian Kilmeade. Go on, Brian. Tell us more about what other pointers would you give?
Instead, the President of the United States, the former President of the United States, opened up with January 6th video, which is insane. He should be running from that period. I don't care his point of view. That is not a good thing for him. I thought that was absolutely awful.
Well, you heard it, but he's like, but the track fucking slaps.
It slaps. It's a banger.
Can you show me the music video? I can't find it. I have to see it.
I don't. It was on like Rumble exclusively for a second. So if you want to fully debase yourself, you can head on over there.
A Rumble exclusive.
Yeah. I know, but you know where I'm pretty sure it like the what world premiere music video bow, 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 was on Steve Bannon's fucking like Twitch stream or some shit. So that's the kind of like the way they sort Bannon, of seeded it.
Where'd you find that?
Bannon. Anyway, so the other thing is the people that are behind it, you're like, so obviously this is a grift. Let's just get to the part where it's a grift. This banger, the people who are behind this are Kash Patel, if you remember from the Trump administration. He was Devin Nunes aide that nearly became the head of the CIA and also is a pretty central or key figure in the classified documents case. And then Ed Henry, a former Fox talent. Guess what? They both look like they have legal bills. Patel obviously is having some, you know, run-ins with the DOJ because of the documents case, as I said. And Henry has been fighting a rape lawsuit for 2 years. And the way they're telling people that, like, you got to buy this track because, quote, the profits are going to be going to, you know, the fucking jailed patriots. But it looks like right now all that money is going to a nonprofit that one of them control. And we're not sure how it's being
distributed. Of course.
So anyway.
Are the jailed patriots real?
Yeah, I'm sure. I'd imagine they are. Could you imagine?
Oh, but like, do they really have a choir? Are they really in jail performing?
I mean, from that clip, it sounded like a bad choir. So yeah,
yeah, but it like, sounded like it was recorded on a
bad.
It sounded like it was recorded on a prison phone, like a prison.
Yeah,
but like,
is that's what I'm saying.
That could be faked.
Sure. But that's like Molly. That's a level of thinking you would add if you worked on it to be that. Like it should be through a phone. You know what I mean? But I don't know. I'm pretty sure it is because we've heard about this. Like there are these group of defendants who have kept saying like we are the J6 choir.
Well, look, I think that's really cool. They've like found a new hobby in prison besides overthrowing
created a boys choir.
Yeah. what a wonderful feel good movie that would be. It's like from Insurrectionist to then being like, you know what? We were so wrong. We should just be talking about lifting our voices in a melodic way, not a violent way.
That's the next Pitch Perfect.
It is. Oh my God.
Pitch Perfect Insurrection.
But it's every country's political prisoners in a fucking battle of their choirs.
That would be Oh my God. And then whoever wins gets to get out. They're no longer prisoners.
Wow. The final
fighting for their freedom.
Guantanamo showdown with all the prison choirs.
That's the next. What's the big European pop song competition?
Oh, Eurovision.
Eurovision, but you do it with every country's political prisoners. That is coming soon. Who do you think will have the best? That would get so murky as to how they even categorize like their political prisoners. But anyway, we'll hear more about them later on, I'm sure. All right, let's take another break and we'll take it on down to Florida to see what DeSantis and Disney are up to after this.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
And we're back. And so is the, you know, conflict between Ron DeSantis and the Walt Disney Company. It's like really like one of those things. It's like, can both of them lose? If possible. But of course, you know, DeSantis launched this battle because of Disney's public and very delayed opposition to the Don't Say Gay law, leading him to enact legislation that would end Disney's era of self-governance and like the land in and around Disney World.
And it is a real city. It's terrifying.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. And like one where recently the, you know, like emergency services people were like, we are not supported nearly enough. And it's like, it's costing people their lives.
Yeah, because people live there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 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 they do. They do. So originally, DeSantis had a bill that was just going to dissolve the district entirely. It's called the Reedy Creek Improvement District. But this plan had to be changed because it would have meant like additional costs to neighboring districts if they're just like, oh, well, they do like self-generate the funds to do a lot of stuff. So do we pawn that off on other people? So instead, the plan became to just have a bill that would just simply rename the district. Now it would be called the Central Florida Tourism Oversight District. And they would replace the 5-person board with DeSantis little plants instead of Disney allies to try and upend like the business of this board. And, you know, this guy, this is what I love, man. This dude was, he was doing all this tough guy shit. Like in February, he was like, there's a new sheriff in town. But guess what? The lawyers at Disney were like, oh, huh. I think we know what this guy's about to do. Let's ready ourselves for the eventual fuckery from the governor. And so what happened was the board, with the help of the lawyers, they pushed through a, quote, multi-decade agreement that would completely kneecap DeSantis's plan and essentially make Disney like the government in that area.
Which, for the foreseeable. Who's shocked?
I mean, is that much of a difference, really? But I guess at this point, it's more so that DeSantis can't really meddle as much as he'd like to.
I like how that's also so bad.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's like there's no
That's
win.
What I'm saying. Can both people fucking lose here? Like, what do you mean they're the fucking government?
It's like, yeah, when capitalism wins.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh, good. A corporation defeated the evil politician.
Government, yeah, but also fascist. Owns the city.
Right. It's like,
give it to the manatees. That's my Florida.
Hell yeah, exactly.
Back to the manatees.
So like the people that like DeSantis planted on the board, they're like throwing their hands, like, we fucking can't. They fucked us. And they're like, what do you mean? Basically, the way they fucking structured like these agreements and stuff and these like guardrails means that these incoming board members, they can't do anything but beyond maintaining the roads. Essentially, and really basic infrastructure, like everything else, they have no say in. And basically, it allows Disney to continue to build on the land or sell development rights without the approval of new board members. And they can fuck with density. They can do whatever the fuck they want to. And this document was quietly agreed upon by the Disney board February 8th, which was quite literally the day before the Florida House voted to put the governor in charge. So they did an Indiana Jones shit and they snatched their motherfucking hat before the shit closed on them. And the document.
Yeah, but also no.
The crazy thing is, this is what's even wild. I think people call it like the Windsor Clause because the document states that its terms are enforceable in perpetuity or until 21 years after the death of the last surviving descendants of King Charles III, King of England.
What?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
That
this is
so
like,
wild.
People don't do this. Is like some 17th century shit doing like this royal lives clause. But guess what? The fucking Disney lawyers were fucking, they came ready. You know what that means? It would be 21 years after the death of Harry, Meghan, Will, and Kate's kids.
Yeah.
Like that's,
which is so crazy because it's like, as much as America's like, we are not with England. We divorced right. ourselves from England. We left England. We founded the new colonies. And then every chance they get, they're like, but we love England. We're going to tie ourselves to England.
In this instance, we got to respect, you know, the descendants of King Charles
III. Got to respect the descendants of our rulers from way back when.
But like, so now the Florida Republicans are really pissed and they're going to try and challenge the legality of the document. But again, everyone's like, it's because of Disney's cloud, too. They're like, this is just going to be, as they say, protracted litigation. And right now, when you look at like what the state of Florida is up against, they're fighting all kinds of bills, like are fighting in court over all kinds of shitty laws and things like that. And it's going to this legal firm, really putting money in the pockets of one of Ron DeSantis's college buddies. And also like a law firm that both Tom Cotton and Ted Cruz also were alumni from, or alumnus.
Of course,
anyway.
Of course.
So, you know, it's all, you know, I guess kind of funny, but it's really just fucking fucked up that Disney can even set this kind of thing up.
Yeah.
We've talked about this before, like their pseudo government status to just siphon money away from affordable housing in order to upgrade Disney's sewage system in 1990 was definitely, you know, a story that you're like, oh, yeah, this is not for anything except for the enrichment of Disney. And there's been a lot of problems. Like I just mentioned, like a woman died of a heart attack in 2021. And it's allegedly due to understaffing for their emergency services because they're like, oh, man, we got this other shit we're trying to build right now. OK, we didn't realize people were like living here and had lives that may need attention. And that was why the union representing Disney World's first responders came out in support of the state taking over the Reedy Creek Improvement District, because they were like, no, there are actual problems with this thing.
Yeah.
But now here we are. And now you just basically have to choose your fighter, fascist or trash ass media fucking giant. Pick yours. So, yeah,
there's no winning.
I guess that really is
capitalism.
The most American thing where it's like, I don't know, maybe the fucking company can take down the fascist. And,
the company is fascist. No.
But they're funding the guy they're fighting. Whee! Anyway, so yeah, let us know if you're out there and checking anything out in the newly improved Central Florida Tourism and Oversight Board. But yeah, I mean, what a fucking like insult to injury when they put in a clause there. Like, yeah, it's actually until King Charles's grandkids die.
That is so crazy. It's like, Americans will never die off the hill of being tied to the monarchy. And yet
the British are like America's like shitty parents.
No, yeah. Really.
but we're way more turned up to like, yeah. let me show you how to really ignore some motherfucking problems.
That's right.
Molly, thank you so much for joining me. As I see you wrap yourself with that blanket, I can't help but think how much better a gigantic robe may be for you. But where can people find you, follow you, listen to you, and all that kind of stuff?
Wow, especially if you are a robe company and you want to give me a free robe, you can find me at Molly _ Instagram. Molly _ Instagram.
Oh, I love that. Please take that handle, Molly _
That's
Instagram.
That's my handle. Molly _ Instagram. Molly _ Lambert on Instagram and Molly at Molly Lambert on Twitter. And yeah, listen to Heidi World. We've got some new things coming up soon that we can talk about more.
Yeah.
Soon.
Yeah, yeah.
That I'm excited about. So,
okay. And what's a tweet or some other social media internet thing you've been liking?
I love those capybaras who are in like hot spring. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it's like trending on TikTok. They got the capybara song.
It's always just like trending because it's like there's some hot spring where they let them in the jacuzzis. And they just get the water on that. I'll send it to you. It's okay. So good.
Yeah.
Just good, wholesome.
You need
positive.
Eye bleach. Yeah. I send like when shit gets like goes left in like text threads with people, I just send pictures of my baby now.
That is
yeah,
smart.
It's like that.
That's an immediate
it's good to
diffuser.
Just have like
oh yeah, this
animals
that's how you,
too. Animals, yeah. It's like
if you don't have a baby to use, you gotta get us some capybaras.
It's weird though how powerful though, like baby and like cutie animal things can derail a conversation. We're like, nah, man,
absolutely.
This is fucked up. And then you're like, oh my god, what?
Yeah.
Me.
Really.
Yeah. Or me too. I'm like completely like, oh man, I needed that. Well, wow, like that fucking otter's playing a banjo.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah. It just need it.
Reminds us there's good in the world.
Yeah, exactly.
That otter's playing a banjo.
Yeah. Have you seen the deep faked version of Deliverance with all otters?
It's really, okay. It's don't really cool. Take it to a place of darkness. Miles.
I'm sure someone can AI that.
Please don't make me think about how animals also rape and kill. And in fact, do that so much that every time I watch a nature documentary, I'm reminded that like all cute animals do is fucking rape and kill. So
it's all in there. Becca Ramos, thank you so much for joining me too. The guest hosting, where can people find you, follow you, and what's the tweet or something that you're liking?
You can find me and follow me at BexRamos, BeccsRamos, on all platforms. You can find me at Mil Mundos every other Saturday, volunteering. Hey. Come get your books from a queer Latinx-owned local bookshop.
Yeah.
Support local. And then a couple tweets. I have a couple tweets. One from Cal Cinema. It's a picture of Snoopy and like all these little like Snoopy dogs. And it says, when you beef with me and my gang, this is literally who you're beefing with. Just think about how ridiculous that is. And it's just like a bunch of little Snoopies looking all innocent shit. And that's how I feel. You know, it's like you beef with me and
my
gang.
God.
And like, this is us. We're just a bunch of weird and nerds.
Yeah. They're like, yo, we out front. You're like, oh, shit.
And then the second one I have is from Slebo Slays, capital S, LEBOW, capital SASAYS. Mm-hmm. I'm obsessed with how they talk on TikTok, girly. It's called a grocery store. And it's a screenshot of this TikTok that says, POV, Trader Joe's is your hyperfixation food supplier.
Ooh. Ooh.
The kids just like don't know how to say things anymore.
Yeah.
Just, and that's how my sister-in-law talks. Anyway.
Yeah. Hey, shout out to youth them. I gotta say, tweet I like. Thank somebody tagged me in the thing because I was like, I'm kind of not looking. But then I saw somebody said, you might like this tweet. And let me just first shout out that person. That was Jen Dangerously at Von Pokemon. I was like, hey, you might like this one. It's a tweet from at Jared Lujan that says, it's a conversation. It says, my wife, did you get high and watch samurai movies again? Me crying. Yes. My wife, did he die because he was burdened by the very code he lives for again? Me, my voice breaking into a sob. Yes. Wow. You know, get you some Zatoichi or something in your life. You know what I mean? Check out some samurai shit if you want to know about that code life. You can find me at Miles of Gray on Twitter and Instagram. You can also find me on Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. That's our basketball podcast. Shout out to the Lakers who pulled one off against the Bulls on Wednesday. It was nice to see Austin Reeves give Patrick Beverley that too small gesture. You can also find me on 420 Day Fiance, which will be returning soon. I promise it is not over. You can also find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. Got the Facebook fan page, got the website. You know that. That's where you can find all our episodes in our footnotes.
Footnotes?
Thank you, Becca. Where you can find all the articles that we talked about, as well as the song we're going to ride out on. I want to go out on this track by this artist, Jay Safari. I was like, who is this Jay Safari? I think I found him on TikTok. But then I was like, because he was like battling all these people, like, you're just biting the Neptunes. And I was like, wait, what? So I wanted to check out his music because I love the Neptunes. This track is called Dance, and it is a fucking amazing ripoff of the Neptunes. Like, if you fuck with the like early aughts Neptunes, it's the exact sound. It's like he's using the exact same keyboards and shit like that. So rather than getting mad about it, I'm like, I like that someone is honoring that style. I don't really see it as like that egregious, but look, for those of us that get nostalgic about seeing Chad and Pharrell together wearing trucker hats, you might like this. It's Dance by Jay Safari. All right, that's going to do it for us. Just remember, this show is a production of iHeartRadio. So for more podcasts, check out the iHeartRadio app or Apple Podcasts to get more. Listen to your favorite shows there. We'll tell you what's trending later on this Friday. But until then, we are going to go. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.